Hello and welcome to another broadcast. We're in Genesis chapter 42, verse number 18. We're going to be looking at Joseph discussing with his brothers what is going on around them. They don't really know it yet that it's him, but they're going to find out shortly. Stay tuned for our program. Reading today in Genesis chapter 42, verse number 18, and Joseph said unto them the third day, "This do and live, for I fear God." Now they'd been in a dungeon for 3 days. Joseph put them in there, tried to bring them to the place of thinking and repenting of everything they had done. He says in verse 19, "If ye be true men, let one of your brethren be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye carry corn for the famine of your houses." So he said, "I'm going to keep one of you here. You're staying in the dungeon. The rest of you can go home." Why are they going home? Verse 20, "Bring your youngest brother unto me. So shall your words be verified, and ye shall not die." Now they're thinking here, this is pretty serious. They're threatened with death. Well, they said one to another, "We are very guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when he besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us." And Reuben answered them, saying, "Spake I not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child? And ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required." And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spake unto them by an interpreter. And he turned himself about from them and wept, and returned to them again, and communed with them, and took Simeon, and bound him before their eyes. Now, they'd been in prison in a dungeon for 3 days to think things over, and they were actually beginning to bear the fruit of repentance. When they appeared before Joseph, he said, "This do and live, for I fear God." Now, for this, who they thought was an Egyptian, to bring in instructions like this must have been a surprise to them. But God is working. Joseph, knowing who they were, told them that they would need to bring their younger brother to prove they were telling the truth. Not knowing that Joseph understood what they were saying, we see Reuben thinking back 22 years and said, "Spake I not unto you, do not sin against the child, and ye would not hear?" And then we read at that point that Joseph wept. Now, it's suggested that Simeon was possibly the chief instigator in selling Joseph, and perhaps he had tied his hands when turned over to the slave dealers. There's nothing in the scriptures to support that theory. Simeon was not mentioned as having a major part in the selling of Joseph, as some of his other brothers were. Therefore, we don't know exactly why Simeon was chosen. Maybe he volunteered. In any event, we read that Joseph wept. 7 times in the book of Genesis, we read Joseph wept. In Genesis 42:24, he turned himself about from them and wept and returned to them again. Genesis 43:30, "And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brothers, and he sought where to weep." Then in Genesis 45:1, he said, "Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, and Joseph made himself known unto his brethren, and he wept aloud." Then in verse 15 of chapter 45, "Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them." Genesis 46:29, "And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel his father." And it says he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. Then in Genesis 50 and verse number 1, "And Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him." And finally in Genesis 50 and verse 15 through 17, when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy fathers. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. Well, once again, we see here in these seven references to Joseph weeping, a picture of the compassion of Christ. In Matthew 9:36 says, when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion. Matthew 14:14, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion. Matthew 15:32, then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude. Matthew 20:34, so Jesus had compassion on them. Mark 1:41, and Jesus moved with compassion. Luke 19:41, and when he was come near the city, he beheld the city and wept over it. And then in John 11:35, the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. We see, again, another great type of Joseph being like a type of Christ. Well, in verse 25, we read, then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn and restore every man's money into his sack and to give them provision for the way. And thus did he unto them. And they laded their asses with corn and departed thence. And as one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn, he espied his money, for behold, it was in the sack's mouth. And he said unto his brethren, my money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their hearts failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, what is this that God hath done unto us? Now, they're on a 200-mile trip back to Hebron. When they stopped on the first night of their 6 or 7 day trip, we read one of them opened his sack to give his ass provender in the inn, and he said unto his brethren, my money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. Now, discovering this struck them with terror. The first thing we read here is a response was fear, and the next thing was to ask the question, what is this that God hath done unto us? You notice the fear, you notice the attention toward God. Now, throughout this chapter, we can see that these wicked men are being led to repentance. They are beginning to realize that they deserve the judgment of God, and that's what repentance is all about. Well, in verse 29, we read, they came unto Jacob, their father, and they tell him the story of everything that happened there, and told him in verse 33 that they had to leave one of the boys with them, which, of course, was Simeon. And verse 34, they told him, we need to bring our youngest brother back with us. Well, they also mentioned in verse 35, it came to pass, as they emptied their sacks, now they had already emptied one, behold, every man's bundle of money was in his sack. And when both they and their father saw the bundles of money, they were afraid. Now, everybody's afraid. Jacob's afraid. The boys are afraid, and they ought to be afraid. Well, it says in verse 36, and Jacob, their father, said unto them, me have ye begrieved of my children. Joseph is not. Of course, he's alive, but he doesn't know it yet. And Simeon is not. Well, he's assuming he's dead. He's not dead. He's in the prison. And ye will take Benjamin away? All these things are against me. And Reuben spake unto his father, saying, slay my two sons, if I bring him not to thee. Deliver him into my hand, and I will bring him to thee again. And he said, my son shall not go down with you, for his brother is dead, and he is left alone. If mischief befall him by the way, in the way which ye go, then shall ye bring down my gray hairs with sorrow to the grave. So he says, no, he is not going. Now, unfortunately, under all this stress of the famine and all this stress of their family situation, no one is seeking direction from God. When these disciples of the Lord here, when Christ was here, that were concerned about bread in Mark chapter 8 and verse number 17, Jesus said, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Several times Jesus said to his disciples, why reason ye among yourselves? They're trying to figure out problems of life, and there was the creator of the world standing right there with all the answers. They weren't bringing him into their reasoning. They were reasoning among themselves. Well, that's what's going on here. When they reasoned, they left God out. And when we reason, leaving God out of our reasoning, we do stupid things and we say stupid things. Reuben said if he didn't bring Benjamin back, that Jacob could go ahead and kill two of his own grandchildren. Now that is just stupid. When you leave God out of the equation, when you reason among yourselves, you're going to come up with some pretty nutty things. And that's exactly what happened here. Now there's a lot of emotion going on here. All the more reason why they needed to stop and they needed to pray. Well, we see here in this chapter that there is a serious problem, and that is the famine. There's a serious family problem, and that is, one of their sons is back there in prison, and they have to do something about it. There's a lot of problems going on here. And it starts out, and it says in verse 1, and the famine was sore in the land, and it came to pass when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, that their father said unto them, go again, buy us a little food. So the first thing it says here is the famine was sore in the land. The Hebrew word translated sore has been translated great 8 times, and it's been translated grievous 8 times. And in Genesis 45 and 6, it tells us the famine will last for another 5 years. Jacob's family has eaten up the food that they had received on their first trip to Egypt. So he says, go back and buy us a little food. Now, why he said a little food, I don't know. It is uncertain. The Hebrew word, however, for little has been translated some in 2 other places in the Old Testament, and perhaps that's all he's saying here. Buy us some food. Well, in verse 3, Judas speaks up, and he's good at it. He's always good at speaking up. He's kind of like Peter was. He's the first one to say something here. And Judas spake unto him, saying, the man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, ye shall not see my face except your brother be with you. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, ye shall not see my face except your brother be with you. Now, Judah was the 4th son born to Jacob. Reuben, Simeon, and Levi were all older than Judah. However, Judah was the one who immediately responded, saying, they are not going to go unless Benjamin should go with him. At this point, we don't know what Benjamin's thinking. He's standing there. He's not a little boy. He's somewhere around 30 years old when this conversation takes place. Well, in verse number 6, Israel, of course, is Jacob. His name has been changed to Israel, said, wherefore dealt ye so ill with me as to tell the man whether ye had yet a brother? Now, keep in mind that Joseph knew everything that was going on. They haven't figured out yet that this is Joseph. Well, at this point, all the other brothers get into the conversation. It says, they said that the man asked us straitly of our state and of our kindred. And what they're saying was, because of the way the conversation went, we had to tell them we had another brother. Well, Judas steps in again, and he responds in verse number 8, and he said, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. Now, what he's saying here is, look, Benjamin's going to die anyway. We're all going to starve to death if we don't get down there and get some food. And then he says in verse 10, for except we had lingered, surely now we had returned a second time. What he's saying is, Jacob had let them go a long time ago. They could have been back by now, but he hadn't let them go. Well, we see here that Jacob's response is then, he says in verse number 11, if it be so now, this do, take of the best of the fruits in the vessels and carry down a man a present, a little balm and a little honey spices and myrrh and nuts and almonds. He's saying, well, okay, if we got to take Benjamin, take him. And again, nobody's praying here. Nobody's seeking direction from God. They come up with this very humanistic plan. Let's send him some honey and some spices, a few nuts and a present. Oh, how that is, that we are like that, rather than just turning to God and letting Him take care of things. Well, we're out of time again. Tune in again tomorrow. We'll continue from here with this story of this great man named Joseph.